You are listening to the weekly message from Woodbridge Community Church in Irvine. Our vision as a church is to help all people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Today's message, titled Civil Servant Sunday, is a special message honoring our law enforcement officers, firefighters, and medical personnel, and is taught by Police Chief Dave Maggard. For more information, visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org.
I'm pretty excited today. So I'm a police chaplain in the city of Irvine, and my first boss was Dave Maggard, and I couldn't have asked for a better boss. And today I've asked him to come up and just share from his heart to you in our community. Many of you probably know Dave, but he's a good man. Can I tell you straight up? He's the best leader I've ever seen in my entire life. I've met a lot of people. I don't think I can find a better leader than this guy. And when you get to know him, you get to see his heart. He's just pretty authentic and real, and I just respect him and honor him today, and I'm excited that he's going to come up and talk to us a little bit about what's going on in his life and talk about the Lord. So you guys welcome Dave Maggard.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here at Woodbridge Community, and it's really wonderful to see so many friendly faces. And so there's people here that I've spent a lot of time with. There's people here that I really love. And to be all together this Sunday morning is really a wonderful, wonderful honor for me. And Pastor Frank, I want to thank you for the invitation. And to the congregation, I just want to thank you for sharing Pastor Frank to be our chaplain at the Irvine Police Department. He's served many years in our department and touched literally hundreds of lives. And I just want to thank you for sharing him with us. It has been a huge blessing to the men and women of the Irvine Police Department. And so thank you to all of you, and a special thanks to my brother, Pastor Frank. So many of you know that I served as the Irvine Police Chief for almost 13 years. And as I passed the baton to our new chief, Mike Hamill, about 5 months ago or so, it provided me with an opportunity to really reflect upon my tenure as chief, and really the last three decades or so I've served in law enforcement. And I was filled with lots of memories, of course, but I was filled with this great sense of gratitude for people who had helped me, had supported me, had really poured into my life. And with that gratitude came memories of people who stood shoulder to shoulder with me and came alongside me and offered me significant encouragement. And that's what I'd like to talk to you a little bit about today. I'd like to talk to you about encouragement, how we can be an encouragement to others, and perhaps today especially, we can be an encouragement, whether close in or maybe a little farther away, to those who serve our communities, whether they're law enforcement officers, firefighters, or folks in the medical community. Let's pray for a minute. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Palm Sunday. We thank you for the significance. We thank you that just a week from now, we will be coming back and celebrating your resurrection. We're so grateful for you, for the blessings. We're so thankful for the men and women who are here today that serve our communities. We thank you for bringing us all here today to worship you, to learn more about you. I pray that you would just speak through me this morning. We love you, and we pray these things in your name. Amen. So if you know a little bit about my story, you know that I'm originally from the San Francisco Bay Area. I grew up in the Bay Area and was born into a Christian household. I feel very blessed for that. My mom and dad were married in a covenant church. Covenants were a Swedish immigrants, evangelical church of Swedish immigrants, mostly at the beginning. And so when I was born, I was really fortunate to come into a Christian home. My mom and dad grew up in Christian homes as well, and so we have a great legacy in my family. I was particularly blessed because both my grandparents shared the vocation of Jesus. They're both carpenters, so I thought that was a benefit to my family. My dad's dad brought his family from Oklahoma to the Central Valley during the Dust Bowl. He left his family, his wife, and seven kids, and went up to San Francisco every week and tried to make a living for his family during the day, and at night he preached in soup kitchens. He was a man that didn't have very much, but he would go into kind of the crummiest areas of San Francisco, and he would preach the gospel to people who were struggling even more than he was. Just an incredible man, Southern Baptist, God-fearing man, but a great leader of his family and really a wonderful human being and a wonderful servant of the Lord. My mom's dad was a humble, sweet man who worked tirelessly in his church. He was an elder in his church. He was an usher for as long as I could remember and gave so much to his church and to the Lord. And his wife, my grandmother, my mom's mom, was perhaps the most godly woman that I've ever met. She poured into her family. She poured into her grandkids. She was the light of the Holy Spirit. When you hear about those descriptions, you would see it immediately in my grandmother. People would wonder, what has this woman so turned on? Why is she so loving? Why is she so kind? Why is she such a servant? And if you met her, it wouldn't take you long to know that it was because how much she loved the Lord, and the Lord would just shine through her. And so she taught us well. She taught me at about the age of 5 years old to pause at the sound of sirens in the community and get on my knees and pray. She said, David, there is an emergency somewhere, and we need to pray for the families or the people that are involved in that emergency, and we need to pray for the police officers and the firefighters who are rushing to aid them. And it just gave incredible honor to that moment. And it was a way for her to embed that in me at a very, very young age. She made sure that I was the first one at Sunday school. Every time I was visiting her, she lived about an hour and a half away from where I grew up. And she made sure I was the first one in Sunday school every Sunday morning that I was visiting. In fact, she brought me on Saturday nights to vacuum the Sunday school classrooms, to clean the chalkboards, and to make sure. But it was her instruction of me that it wasn't just about going to church on Sunday. It was about serving all the time. And she served those who were in her community and would be part of her great church. And so I can tell you that she's been gone for 27 years, and I think about her every week. And I tell my daughter, Erica, who just turned 14, I can't wait for you to meet my grandma in heaven, because that's how meaningful she was to me. And so for those of you that are grandparents, and I know there are some that are here, I just want to remind you of the importance of passing down the legacy of faith. When Paul wrote to Timothy and acknowledged the work of his mother and grandmother in 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, it says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For me in my life, that verse could be changed. Lois could be replaced with Helen, and Eunice could be replaced with Carolyn. And that was the legacy of my grandmother that poured into her family and into the next generation, her daughter's family as well. Psalm 103, verse 17 says, but the steadfast love of the Lord, and from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. So be an inspiration if you're a grandparent. And if you are not yet a grandparent, look forward to that opportunity that you can pour into your grandkids. It is a precious, precious legacy that I think about all the time and was certainly foundational in my life. I grew up in my early years at the First Covenant Church in Oakland, California. It was a church that was kind of nestled in the foothills. And I remember when I was about 10 years old or so, I was in the Sunday school class of the preacher's son. We were about 10 years old. This was about 1972. Think junior leisure suits in church. Really formal still. Hymns. Everybody was dressed up, even little kids. And so I remember after church one day, the pastor's son asked our Sunday school teacher, who I remember as a man who was about 72, 73, 74. And when I was reflecting back, I wonder now, was he more like a man that was just my age currently? So I don't know, but for the sake of my memory and for the story, he was in his early 70s and a very, very good man. And so the pastor's son, he said, hey, instead of having Sunday school today, what about going up in my treehouse? I live right here. The pastor and his family lived right next to the church, and he had a treehouse in his backyard. And the Sunday school teacher was kind of taken aback and said, well, that sounds kind of neat, but Let's see if we do that another Sunday. Well, of course, what do 10-year-old boys do? The next Sunday came up, he said, hey, can we go up in my treehouse today? And I think to everybody's surprise, the Sunday school teacher said, you know what? Let's do it. And so we went into the backyard of the pastor's kid, and I noticed that the Sunday school teacher was wearing kind of sturdy shoes that Sunday, and I just wonder if he had done some recon during that week. He checked out the treehouse to make sure he could actually climb up, probably called the pastor to make sure it was okay if we crawled around in his backyard during the time when he was actually giving the sermon. And so, sure enough, he and six or seven of us, we climbed up in that treehouse that day, and we had Sunday school in that treehouse that day. And he reminded us, he said, remember, boys, Matthew 18:20, for where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. So it's not about the building. It's not about the steeple. It's not about all of the things that we sometimes associate with church. It's about being together and worshiping the Lord and learning about the Lord and being together for the Lord. And it was a powerful message of encouragement as a young boy who had otherwise had a pretty traditional kind of experience in church. And he said, boys, it's not about that. And you know, what better place could we be to learn about Jesus and to celebrate Jesus than in one of his great creations, this wonderful tree where we get a chance to look out over all of his creation. And it was an encouragement. It was an inspiration. And I remember forever that it's not about where we are. It's about who we're with and who we're focused on during that period of time. He was a special guy. And remember, for those that perhaps don't have grandkids and maybe have that wisdom and are thinking about how can I serve my church, how can I serve my neighbors, think about those little kids. Think about little kids who need other important people in their life other than their parents to be able to pour into them, to be able to encourage them. It's a very, very special opportunity. And remember, and this is becoming one of my favorite Bible verses, Proverbs 16:31 says, gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. So for those of you that are getting older and hopefully more wise, then we have something to look forward to. And I would just ask that those that are thinking about and contemplating whether or not they can serve young people in this community, in their community, I would just say Psalm 92, verse 14 and 15 says, they still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and grain to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Maybe it's your time to pour into a young person. Think about the importance of being able to give us a signal of encouragement to a young person. You know, our kids, I have a 17-year-old son, Evan, and a 14-year-old daughter, Erica, and it's tough to be a teenager these days. And my wife, Melanie, and I, we try every day to pour into them, to guide them, to support them, to love them. But I'll tell you, the encouragement of someone else that they respect and care about perhaps is that extra booster shot that really will make a difference in them. Proverbs 16:24 says, kind words are like honey sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. And I think that's especially true for young people, especially those who are looking for that and need that. I grew up in a home that was also filled with sports and athletics, so I was very active in sports as a kid growing up. My junior year in high school, I had an opportunity to go to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes camp up at UC Davis, and that was an encouragement for me at that time because, you know, I was a teenager. I was thinking about the world. I was really focused on my social life and my athletic life, and I got an opportunity to be with these young men for a week or so who were great athletes, some of which were recognizable to me, who first loved the Lord. And they talked about that entire week. They said, sports is important, athletics is important, but Jesus is most important. And don't ever forget that. We love our sports. We love Jesus more. We need to make sure that we celebrate that. And for me at the time, I was probably 17 years old at the time, that was very meaningful. And it reminded me that there's going to be a lot of things that you're going to be involved in your world, but you got to keep Jesus first. And for those young men to pour into, you know, young men that were 4 or 5 years younger than they that were very influential was really a gift. I went to school at UC Berkeley, and I was a captain of the track and field team. My senior year, I was trying to figure out what I was going to do with my life. I was a pre-law major. I was thinking about going to law school. I was thinking about going to maybe a management training program in one of the companies in the Bay Area. So you really know, you don't know really how you move into your chosen profession or vocation, or how you become, in my case, a police officer. Maybe it was those foundational, honorable moments that my grandmother poured into me when I was a little boy. Maybe it was the fact that my senior year at Cal, my apartment was broken into 3 times in 6 months. Or maybe more seriously, it was the death of a friend and teammate on my track team just a week and a half before the Pac-10 championship. So then it was a Pac-10s, it's a Pac-12 now. The week before, our team was getting ready to come down to Los Angeles Coliseum and compete. Kerry Threets, who was a quarter miler, a young man of incredible joy, gregarious, huge smile, was really doing some great things for his life and really setting his life up for success. He was visiting friends and family at in a difficult neighborhood in Oakland, and he went down to one of the grocery stores, corner markets, to buy an ice cream cone for a friend, a friend's child, a little girl. So as he's walking out of that grocery store holding the ice cream in his hand, two young men about Kerry's age, 21, 22 years old, rolled up on him, mistook him for a rival drug dealer, pointed pistols out the window of the car, and shot him dead right there. Ice cream in hand, doing a great act of kindness for a little person. And so a week before this big meet, my dad called me and said, "I got some bad news, Dave. Kerry Threets has been killed." And it was a huge blow. It was a huge blow because at the time of your life, during when you're 21, 22 years old, you're getting ready for a big meet. You're getting ready for your life to really begin. It was a hard thing to process, especially in the way that he died. He was doing so many great things in his life. So the Thursday before the Friday that we went down to Los Angeles, we went to his funeral as a team. And my mom prayed. She called me every day. I'm praying. She was offering me encouragement. I was trying to be encouraging to my teammates. It was a difficult time for sure. And less than 5 months later, I was in the Oakland Police Academy. And it was in the first couple of weeks when our recruit training officers, Ruben Zinn and Michael Clark, they came in the classroom during lunchtime. And they said, "We have something off topic to share with you. You are embarking upon a very, very difficult career. You will see death. You will see conflict. You will see sadness. You will see evil. And if you don't have something in your life to help you through that time, it's going to be difficult for you. Most of you will work a 30-year career, and 3 decades in that kind of environment is really rough. And for the both of us, we've made it through because of our relationship with Jesus Christ." And I just remember the encouragement that I felt in this very unusual place to hear about Jesus. And they knew that they probably need to sneak in during a lunch break, and they said, "If you want to hear more about our relationship with Christ and how he can help you through a very difficult career, come and see us after work. And it was at that time that I just realized that my faith is important. And my faith is important always, but my faith is going to be really important in a very, very difficult career. And of course, it was. And like so many of my brothers and sisters that are sitting here with police and fire, I saw tough things. I was the first on a scene when a 14-year-old boy used his own leather belt and hung himself from his brother's bunk bed. I've seen too many suicides of young people. I've seen homicides. I've seen stabbings. I've seen terrible fatal traffic collisions. And my experience is not any different than those who wear the badge that are sitting in here today. No different. That's what the job is about. The people that wear that badge, they go and they serve with honor and they help people in their time of need. But it's difficult and it wears on you. And there were many periods of my life when the strength of my faith was not as strong as it is today. But I can assure you this, I spent a lot of time in prayer in that police car. Because when I was responding to calls, I said, "Lord, help me. I'm scared. Help me. I'm scared." And it was. And after big events, I would say, thank you, Lord, for helping me make it through. That was rough. Help me process it. Help me understand it. Help me deal with it. And it was a lot of police car prayer. Not as much time in other aspects of my life for sure, but I can guarantee you there was a lot of prayer out of the police cars that I drove for sure. 14 years ago, I came to the city of Irvine for my dream job. There are many people that are sitting here today that have poured into my life in the last 14 years, and I really feel totally blessed, totally blessed. And as I entered this season of my life, one of the first people who came aside me was our then fire chief. Our fire chief here today, Greg McEwen, is here with us. He's our fire chief. He's a good man. His predecessor, a couple clicks away, and he knows Chief Matt Vidalis. Many of us know Chief Matt Vidalis. Matt was the fire chief in Irvine when I became the police chief, and he was somebody who literally ran to my side and said, hey, welcome. I'm your man. I'm your partner. And within weeks, this guy was at my side, supporting me, pouring into me, and it wasn't long that I knew that he was truly a man of God, that the light of the Lord just poured through this guy. And he said, I'm going to be with you, man. I'm going to be with you. The Lord does not send out his people, in this case, his men, to be by themselves. That's why he sent out disciples. I'm your man. I'm your brother. I'm going to be with you. And when he saw that I was particularly distressed or sad or worried, he would take me into my office. He would put his hand on my shoulder, and he would pray for me. He would pray for me. And his ability to lift me early in my career and continue through that momentum was just incredible. And what an incredible gift. And so when you're talking about encouragement, you're talking about guys like Matt Vidalis. And for those that have studied the Bible, you will perhaps recognize the name of the disciple Barnabas. Barnabas was described as the great encourager. He was an encourager to Paul. He was an encourager to many disciples who needed encouragement. They needed a shot in the arm. They needed to be lifted up. When they were sad, when they were unsure about what they should do next, Barnabas showed up and he was there for them. He was lifting them. He was supporting them. He was encouraging them. And he was helping put his brothers in Christ on the right path and helping them be the best they can be. Matt Vidalis was clearly my Barnabas during the early years, for sure. For those that have been at Woodbridge Community Church for a long time, you'll recognize the name Mike Anthony. Mike is a great brother, and is actually the one responsible for bringing Pastor Frank to the Irvine PD as a chaplain. And Mike was a senior chaplain when I joined the Irvine PD and was also a great encourager to me and to the men and women of our department. And I remember a time in the first year or so that I was chief, we had a critical event here in the city. It was a difficult time, and there were people that were detrimentally affected by the situation. And there was one woman who felt that our actions, the actions of the Irvine PD, were particularly hurtful to her and for her family. And she was very upset about it. She was angry about it. She was frustrated about it. And so she called me and shared that anger and frustration, and said, I want you to come and talk to me in person about what your department has done to me and to my family. And so I said, okay, I will do that. I'll certainly do that. And she said, I'm going to have a couple members of my family in my home, and I want you to come and talk to us. So I said, okay, I will absolutely do that. I knew it was going to be a difficult conversation, and so I called Mike. I called our chaplain, Mike Anthony, and I said, hey, Mike, I could really use your help. Will you come with me to talk to this family? And he said, you bet, I'm there for you. So we drove out to the house, and as we were walking up the steps, Mike just said, hey, it's going to be okay. This is the right thing to do. The woman opened the door, and she brought us into her home. And there was about 30 members of her family there. And there was this tiny little place on the couch where I was supposed to sit. So I sat down and did my very best to show them that I cared about them and their family, to try and explain what we had done and why this particular event had shaken out in the way that it had, and I just tried to pour out as much empathy as I possibly could. And I was there for about a half an hour or so. It was a long half an hour, And finally, I just thought, you know, I've given everything that I can, and I'm just not, it was just a family that was very angry and frustrated. And so after a little more than 30 minutes, I excused myself, and I told them that, again, that, you know, my heart was with them, and if they had any other questions, that they could call me. And so as we left the house, and Mike was there with me, and I started walking down those steps again, I felt dejected, I felt depressed, I felt like I had failed the family and my job, and Mike put his arm around me, and as I was preparing for some kind of divine inspiration from Dr. Mike, he simply looked at me and said, "Well, that went well." So that's what cops and firefighters and people from the medical community do sometimes to kind of cope. And right after he said that, Mike, he put his shoulder on, or put his hand on my shoulder, and he prayed for me, and he prayed for that family. And that's the kind of guy that he was and is, and that's the kind of encouragement that he gave me, and that's the kind of encouragement that we need. That's the kind of encouragement that we need. We need it every day. For followers of Christ, we need others to lift us up and to encourage us in our walk. But if we're civil servants, we need that encouragement in an even more deeper way. In an even more deeper way, because the things that we have to do are difficult, and we need people to lift us up. About 3 years ago, on the night of Super Bowl Sunday, Keith Lawrence and Monica Kwan were killed in a parking structure in the city of Irvine. In the days that followed that homicide, the double homicide, Irvine police detectives and personnel, as they always do, worked tirelessly to try and find out who was responsible for those murders. And days later, in what would later be known as the manifesto, our detectives found a written document leading us to the person that was responsible for those two homicides. And it turned out, as we learned that late afternoon, that the person that was responsible was a former police officer that worked for the LAPD. And in the Irvine PD, we made a pact that we would never refer to those tragic circumstances, a tragic event, a tragic incident, using the suspect's name. So you will not hear the suspect's name from the men and women of the Irvine Police Department. Instead, we remember Keith, and we remember Monica, and we later remembered Riverside Police Officer Michael Crane and San Bernardino County Sheriff's Deputy Jeremiah McKay. And so as we learned who was responsible, I would go out and do a press conference that basically announced to the nation that the person who had murdered these two incredible young people that had an incredible future and that loved the Lord was a former LAPD officer. And as that name was released, and as that press conference was over, I just sensed that it was going to be a very, very difficult time going forward, and it was. Later that evening, the suspect would drive into the city of Corona and fire at two LAPD officers. Moments later, he would kill Riverside Police Officer Michael Crane and seriously injure his partner, and he was on the loose. And our then Deputy Chief Mike Hamill kept me abreast of what was going on in a very fitful night of intermittent sleep. And when I finally got up to go to work that next morning and I was getting ready, I looked outside my window and there was an Irvine police car sitting in front of my house. And there was two young Irvine police officers standing in my driveway with rifles in their hands. And then Deputy Chief Hamill had made a decision that night to put protection on my house. Because that manifesto said that even if you're not part of my story, if you come after me, I'm going to come after you and I'm going to come after your family. And Mike knew that I probably wouldn't have done that for myself. But he gave me a great gift that morning. And there were men and women, the Irvine PD, standing in front of my house for the next week. And some of them are sitting in this room. And it was a great gift to me, and it's something that I will never, ever, ever forget. I never, ever forget being grateful for because it was an encouragement to me. It was a support to me and my family, and it allowed me to go and do the work that I needed to do for that next week, knowing that my family was going to be okay. And during that next week, when just terrible things were going on, and most of you remember this time, I got visits and great support from your pastor. I got texts and phone calls and visits and cards from brothers and sisters in Christ from literally all over the country. I had people coming in and into my office and praying for me, and people calling me on the phone and just said, if you're driving, look ahead, don't close your eyes, but I'm going to pray for you right now. So I did, and so there are people in my little church who came to visit my family, brought food to my family, prayed for my family, and they walked by these young mid-20 officers holding rifles in their hands in my driveway and walked in and to be with my family. That's encouragement. That's encouragement. That's support. That's love. That's the love of Jesus being played out big time. Big time. And it's something that I'll never forget. And it's something that has been so important in my life and so important in the lives of stories of others who wear the badge, because my story is my story and it's unique to me. But there are many, many stories out there. And there are many people who have done much more and experienced much more than I and have gone through very, very difficult times. They need our support. They need our encouragement. They need our prayer. They need our love. And they even need a little bit of face-to-face. I'm telling you, I've had people randomly come up to me and said, hey, I don't know you, officer. And they didn't know if I was a chief or whatever. They just said, I don't know you, officer, but I just want you to know that I pray for you and people like you all the time. And that's so moving. I'm so inspired and encouraged by that. And whether your focus is on firefighters or people in the medical community or people of the Irvine PD or wherever you live, that encouragement is so, so special. Just as the people in this room are so, so special. I look at the faces of these people that I've served with. I love them. I love them. They've been very, very important in my life. They've been great encouragers, and they've shared with me many, many times of pain and agony that aren't part of this story this morning. They're sitting over here, and they're sitting over here, and they're important people. And so I appreciate the opportunity to get a chance for this congregation to love on them today, to pray on them today. And that is just a great, great gift. The favorite verse of all who wear the badge is Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. You all know peacemakers. You know peacemakers in your life. Pray for them. Love them. Tell them that you're thinking about them and that you're praying for them, and be an encouragement to them. Be a Barnabas for somebody in your life. And if they're wearing a badge, it's even more of a bonus. Thank you for this great day. This is if all churches across the land had Sundays like this, the United States of America would be a different place. Be a different place. So, Pastor Frank and your congregation, thank you very much. It's a great honor to be here. And let me close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the men and women who serve. We thank you for what they've seen and endured. We thank you for them coming back to work even when the day before was difficult, was stressful, made them weep when they got home. We thank you for the people who are in their lives that encourage them. We thank you for the people that don't know them, but they pray for them anyway, Lord. And we just thank you for a day like today where we get a chance to celebrate them and love them and tell them that we care. We love you, Lord. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief. It's also in behalf of our law enforcement and every civil servants. That's a clap of thanksgiving, and because of our greatest model, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's, you know, being courageous and just have that bravery protecting the community. We were made to be courageous. We were made to lead the way. We could be the generation that finally breaks the chains. We were made to be courageous.
Truly, this is a special service, and we'd like to truly honor our civil servants today. And at this time, for those of you who are in the medical profession, our doctors and nurses, our EMTs, those in the medical profession, would you stand, and we'd like to say a special prayer for you. Would you stand at this time? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Please stand. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you know what the ministry of healing is like, because when you were on earth, you healed the multitudes and gave them hope. Thank you, Lord, because this ministry of healing continues on today. So the doctors and nurses and those in the medical community, so Lord, we pray for them and we commend them to you. May your hand of protection be upon them always. as they serve others in very demanding conditions. May you give them courage and strength to be true to this ministry of mercy. And in times of discouragement, may they find inspiration in you. May they feel your presence with them as they serve the sick and those in need. And may your blessings be upon them and their families now and for always. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated.
I'll ask our firefighters, will they please stand? We'd like to pray for you. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the brave men and women who act as firefighters and first responders in our community. We thank you for their commitment and dedication as they protect and help us in our times of need. We thank you for their courage as they perform their duties of mercy to the community. We pray for Fire Chief Greg McCowan and all his staff. Look down in your love upon them. Give them your protecting grace as they carry out their duties. Give them the ability to bring reassurance and calm to those who are panicked or in fear, grief, or shock. Give them wisdom when they have to make spontaneous decisions in crisis situations. Use their hands as your hands to rescue those in peril and to save lives of those in sudden distress. Protect and shield them from injury when they enter harm's way. Watch over their homes and families, ever reminding them that they too are in your loving care. And we ask this prayer in that name which is above every name, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'm going to ask of all of you that serve in law enforcement, FBI, Orange County Sheriff, Irvine PD, where are you people? Stand where you are. Those that have retired, that have served in the capacities that you have, stand. Lord God Almighty, you're the one that has put the thing deep inside of us called justice. For you are a just God. And you call us to be a just people. Lord, you've placed in the hearts of those that stand here today a desire to be an instrument of justice and righteousness in the land in which we live. These are the people that protect, the people that serve. Lord, their job is a tough job. Lord, they all have seen things in their minds that they can never get out. I pray, Lord God, this day for your loving touch upon their lives. We pray, Lord God, for your healing hand upon them. We pray, Lord God, that you would grant them courage and strength. Lord, give them peace in their hearts that not this world gives, but only you can give them. Lord, I pray that you would be their strength and you would be their shield, that you would guard them and protect them and keep them. We praise you, Lord, for these people today. These are very special people, all of them. They're instruments of mercy and they're instruments of justice. We lift them to you today in the name of the Lord God Almighty. Thank you, Lord, for your love toward them and your approval upon them. This we pray in the Lord's name. Amen. You may be seated.
seek justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God, okay?
Seek justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. Seek justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. Seek justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. Seek justice, love mercy, walk humbly
in the war of the mind. I will make my stand in the battle of the heart and the battle of the hand. In the war of the mind, I will make my stand in the battle of the heart and the battle of the hand.
We were made to be courageous.
Do I hear an amen? Amen? Can we give those that serve in this capacity another round of applause today? Can we just appreciate you? Totally appreciate you and what you do. Big time. You know, I tell this story. A few years ago, I went to Haiti to do a freshwater project. And I landed in the country of Haiti. And when we got there, when we landed at the airport, the people said, well, we don't have a government right now, but we just elected a prime minister. I'm like, well, that's exciting. And when I was there that whole week, I saw a country of complete lawlessness. The most hard thing for me to see was, is we went with some nurses, ministers of mercy, right? And they were giving out basic medical care, and at the end, Pastor Frank was praying for people. And there was girls that were like 14, 15, 16, 17 years old that were waiting in line with their kids. And all these kids, they had because they were raped. There was groups of men that just go around in Haiti raping girls. There's no rape hotline. There's no police department. The only form of law was the UN, UN trucks that drove around. And when I was there, when we were there, we would lay in bed at night and go, how would you fix this country? Politically, morally, it was just a mess. Praise God that when we dial 911, somebody answers the phone. Praise God that when we dial 911, someone's coming to help us. For those of you that serve in the medical community, the law enforcement community, in the firefighting community, God bless you. We appreciate you big, big, big time. I just want to tell you that again. Another round of applause for me. After the service, if we go out these doors and to the left, it's called Building B, and there's the Family Life Center, and our youth of our church here are going to be serving. We're going to ask you to go in and sit down, and our kids want to serve you that serve. And they're going to be bringing you meals, and we're going to have a video that goes on there where people just want to give you a video appreciation of things that happen in their lives and how you've blessed them. And then we're just going to be sharing a little bit, even with a little open mic and just words of appreciation. Our goal today, for those of you that are here today as our guests, is that you leave this place and you are feeling loved, you are feeling appreciated, you are feeling honored and respected. If you leave here feeling that, then we've done our job. Let it be known. Hey, Rabbi Feldman is the Messianic rabbi here. He's a believer in Yeshua, and he has an amazing congregation here of Jewish believers, and a great Purim service yesterday. Yeah, it was awesome, wasn't it? And I've asked Rabbi Feldman to come up and to give the benediction for us.
Thank you, Pastor Frank, and thank all of you. I am just overwhelmed with the service today, and I wanted to whisper to you, come over and just say, I'm so thankful that you guys let us meet here and how much you've meant to us. I really am. 10 years ago, I came and asked if we could share this building, and they were so gracious. And so it's a special service today for me as we all follow the example of our Lord and Savior, our Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, who is the servant of servants. And to see the visible demonstration of our law enforcement, of our firefighters, of people who are in the medical field who serve, and so many others, we follow our Messiah. And that's just such a wonderful testimony. We follow his example. Let's all stand together. We want to close with a word of prayer taken from the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verse 22 through 27. And the Lord God said to Moses, say to Aaron and your sons to bless the children of Israel. So we thank God for blessing all of us. And so I will say that in Hebrew and in English. Let's all bow together. Yivarech echa Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yo'er Adonai panav alecha v'chunecha. Yis Adonai panav alecha v'yisam lecha. Shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. B'shem Yeshua Mashiachenu, Baruch Haba B'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In our Messiah Yeshua, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Woodbridge Community Church's weekly podcast. If you would like more information about our current series or to hear past messages, please visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org. There you can learn about how we can help you meet, know, and follow Jesus.